Comedy Store Wrestling is brought to you by Pro-Am Belts. They make the coolest custom belts for any occasion you may have. We're in the middle of fantasy football season, so why not get yourself a custom belt instead of a little trophy? What is this, Little League? You want to be a champion. And these are the real deal. Real leather, heavy-duty plates, nothing like it out there. Follow them on Instagram at Pro-Am Belts. Make sure to use the promo code 10FF to get 10% off your custom belt today.
This is Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Comedy Store Wrestling here live from the Comedy Store in Hollywood, California. My name is Eddie Torres, being joined, as always, by my compatriot, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel.
We're going to get real inappropriate at the end of this episode.
Oh, this episode is going to be good.
Pro wrestling tease.
But today we have a special guest in-house, a good friend of mine, legendary WWE referee, Lucha Underground referee, and now currently working with Young Rock on NBC. Marty Elias, brother, how are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for having me, guys. I truly appreciate this. This is mind-blowing for me because, you know, I'm actually here at the world-famous Comedy Store, Richard Pryor and Robin Williams, and for me, it's so surreal being a little Mexican kid from Ontario, dirt poor, my dad in prison, and not a pot to piss, and mom and seven kids, and here I am doing a podcast with you guys. I mean, talk about fucking surreal, man, and if you set your mind to something, you're a good guy, and you work hard, and look what happens.
Yeah, look what happens.
Look what happens. You end up in a room with us two.
You do a podcast.
Dude, I mean, honestly, doing this podcast is definitely not the craziest thing you've ever done. I've known you for a while now, and we've talked about this before on my own show, but we've never talked about it here. But I mean, you were in the ring with The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania 25. I mean, that's a little more impressive, I think, than chilling down here with us
today. Well, it is.
And we're all with you there.
Yeah. Let's be honest. No. But yeah, it was amazing. And you know what's, again, I'm about full circle and about, oh my God, is that match happened 15 years ago, maybe 16, going on 16 years. And here we are in 22, and you're asking me about that match.
Yeah.
It just goes to show the impact, and no pun intended, that match had on the wrestling world and WrestleMania and what it's done for me. You know, like that match literally put me on the map and considered one of the greatest referees of all time today with the body of work. And that we're talking about it after this many years, I mean, it's humbling. It really is.
Yeah, man.
Who called that match? Both of them?
Both of them called it. And our agents were Michael Hayes, Pat Patterson.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Say, who's who?
Yeah. And, you know, I've told this story before, and it's great because when we sat down, we only had 15 minutes, and we were third on the card. And I'll never forget Taker looking at Sean and going, Sean, how long have you been with this company? Sean says, well, I've been here most of my life. He goes, it's not going to fly. And then Michael Hayes goes, well, I'm going to talk to Vince, and don't worry, you know, we're going to change to get more time. So, you know,
it's a good Michael
Hayes. To Vince. And Vince actually came in the next day and wanted to see the match, and, you know, they gave us more time, which we actually went over, but that's okay. you know that dive that happened on the cameraman?
Yeah.
That dive was supposed to be on me.
Oh.
But Vince vetoed that. And but Sean says, you know, we got to get Marty a WrestleMania moment. That's why I went into the barricade, because the whole spot was he was going to dive, crash on the camera guy, boom. That big bump for me going against the railing and knocking me out was going to be the spot to go for the replay. But instead, it ended up being Taker's dive, you know. And, you know, he fractured his collarbone, got a concussion, and he broke his ring finger.
Was that all?
That's all.
That's just that.
That's all.
No biggie.
No biggie.
Man, so is that, I never thought of that. Like, that's something that goes into consideration when you're calling or you know, going over the match, the replays?
Yeah, and, you know, if you know how to work TV, and you know TV, especially wrestling TV, those spots are actually put in. So when you go to commercial break, we know, and up in Gorilla at the time, it was Jerry Briscoe. Okay, kid, we got 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 30 seconds. We're going to commercial. Okay, boom, we're in commercial. Bip, 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 bip. Okay, we're coming back. And you tell the boys we're coming back. Boom, grab a hold. So you grab a hold, you're sitting there, and then here comes that flip screen right there. While we were gone, and here's what we do, and we go back to live action. Okay, we're back. And they start feeding up and going to the next spot. That's how it works.
Well, I mean, nowadays we've got places like AEW that go to commercial, but it's still on the TV.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what goes on there? Like, what's...
I have no idea.
I don't think they have any idea.
I don't think they have
any
idea.
I've never worked for AEW. I've never been asked to help AEW, so I have no idea.
Mm. I don't like it as a viewer because all of a sudden all this big action becomes such a small screen and you got to watch some shitty commercial for Applebee's. It's very distracting.
You know, for me, when I have watched it occasionally, when I see that happen, it takes away from what we always did because the suspense, because you can sit there and look at that little thing and try and figure out what's going on. But in reality, I mean, back then during commercial, you waited and then that gave the whole, you know, while we were in break and, you know, they show what's going on and then we go back to live action, it's like, oh, man, what do we miss?
Yeah.
It's that aspect of it. So I think, you know, that people are always trying to evolve and do stuff TV-wise or for their company or whatever. But to me, in the way I was trained and the way I was brought in and the way we did TV at WWE was that, you know, you want to keep that magic and you want to keep that suspense and you want to keep them on edge. So when you take it away and you give it to them now, you know, when you come back from that, they don't know what happened, you know,
right. Because
now they see it during the commercial break. But it kept them glued.
Yeah.
People were watching, and they wanted to see what was going to happen. So, you know, it's a different place today.
Yeah, I feel like the idea is to keep people watching wrestling while there's commercials, mm-hmm. but nobody's really doing that. Like, I'm not doing that. When that goes to commercial and it goes small, I just go get a drink or, you know, walk away, go on a pee break or something. But, yeah.
I go to porn on the computer, to be honest with you. Unless it's a Kenny Omega match, and I'm full ears.
Oh, man. So that's, you know, it's interesting. I wonder, like, how much work goes into, because I'm going to be honest with the fans. Like, when I watch AEW and that happens, I'm actually watching a VPN-coded Canadian stream. I watch the Canadian version of the show because they don't go to the small screen. They keep it big screen, and they make the commentators talk. And they know they're in commercial break, and it's fucking hilarious to hear Taz riffing with Excalibur knowing that they're not on TV. It's
hot mic.
Hot mic style. It's hilarious, dude. Yeah.
Do you think the ref, I know you don't work or have never worked for AEW, but do you think AEW refs have someone in the area going, hey, we're in the small box, and then as soon as it...
I would hope they would have somebody, you know, in their ear.
I know Marty has some opinions on AEW's referees.
You know, speaking of that, and, you know, I actually text her and said, hey, are you cool if I talk about this? Aubrey Edwards.
I love her.
In the very beginning, I was very critical, and I'm going to be completely honest. I was very critical of how she worked and what she did. And this past May, I did a podcast with Chris Jericho, dear friend. What's up, dude? Vato.
Hopefully he's watching and wants to come out.
I'll send him the link.
Please.
So I did a podcast. It was called The Anatomy of a Pro Wrestling Referee. Mm. And what I did is, you know, Chris and I literally broke it down on what it takes to be a great referee. And again, it has to do with chemistry. It has to with cadence. I mean, and it's just a flow. And it's a big trust factor as well. I mean, because those guys need to trust you that they so they can focus on doing their job. They don't want to have to worry about me fucking up. They need to worry about the match, and I need to worry about being the best referee that I could. So we broke that down. And Aubrey is in a referee group, so she posted about it, and she, you know, gave me some great compliments and recommended people watch it and listen to it. And I was like, wow. So I sent her a message, and I said, hey, I said, you know, if you ever need help, I said, by the way, thank you for the great words. I mean, that's great. I truly appreciate that, and I'm humbled by it. If you never need any help or you need any guidance or whatever, just let me know. So she hit me back, and she goes, yeah. So I said, well, here's my number. So she called me a couple days later, and we talked for almost 3 hours.
Oh, nice.
And since that time, you know, I'll watch AEW Dynamite, or I'll watch, you know, something, a pay-per-view, whatever, and right there live, you know, I'll sit there as she's in the ring, and I'll be text messaging her and letting her know, you know, positioning or something, and just giving her feedback and stuff. And, you know, I've heard it from a few people that I haven't told. This is the first time I've really letting people know that she and I have been communicating and talking. I've been helping her out a great deal with her refereeing today. And, you know, I really hope that people see the difference.
Ah, I mean, I haven't, I don't watch live AEW anymore. I watch clips. Because I just, it's too much to stay on top of it these days. But now I'm going to keep an eye out because, yeah, I mean, you know, we've talked about it in the past. And, you know, there's things that you do when you're new to the business that probably is not a great idea at the end of, you know, and you spotted that. And I'm glad to hear that you're helping her out. That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I know the criticism with her was she was almost too animated and
yeah.
Her
overselling.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It does seem the last couple of weeks she's. Not more serious, but a little more doing normal referee moves.
She's making it real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
yeah.
Not real? Wait, what?
What? What? What? Oh, man.
Fuck this show.
Yeah, right. So,
all right, I'm out.
I thought it was real for a bit.
Hey, man.
I thought Nikita Koloff was from Russia up until about two weeks
ago. Trust me. Trust me. Being one of the boys, it's real. Trust me.
Yeah, it's real.
Yeah, I mean, it's no fun to think, oh, Nikita Koloff from Minnesota? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, man, don't look at the behind the scenes.
And he changed his name.
Yeah, he took it like, you know, people think Warrior.
He was a kayfabe Russian, man.
Yeah,
kayfabe. But like when he does interviews now and they ask him, hey, can you give us a little Nikita? He still sounds incredibly Russian. Like,
yeah. Maybe. He was living the gimmick, man.
So you got to do, right? That's how it was back in the day. Do you feel that wrestlers these days, is anyone living the gimmick? I mean, maybe MJF.
Yeah,
see him at, like, signings, like, flipping off little kids.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's doing what heels do.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that some people, you know, get rubbed the wrong way because, of course, with the whole kid thing and all that. But, you know, heels back in the day didn't care. Yeah. They were heels, man. And, you know, they didn't sell merch and they didn't, you know, get their pictures signed and things like that. They were heels, man. And I really haven't seen a lot of what he does, but I've heard stuff and I've seen clips. And I go, oh, guy's good, man. You know?
Yeah. I think he gets it. He gets it more than most of the people over there, for sure. But, yeah, I mean, I just don't feel like that's a thing much these days, living the gimmick.
I mean, I don't think you can with the internet, you know.
Yeah.
You know,
I think you can, but I mean, again, with social media today, and this is, you know, and this is my humble opinion, okay, being the way I was brought in and trained, is that if you're going to be wrestling somebody and you have heat with them, and you're a babyface or a heel, whatever, is that don't sit there and talk shit and say how much you hate each other and fuck you or whatever, and then have a match, and then 30 minutes after the match, you're on social media hugging and kissing and having a drink. That's not how it works, folks.
Yeah.
Social media, it does, but that's not how it worked, I should say.
Yeah, it does take you out of it, man. Like, one of my favorites is Bray Wyatt. We've talked about it. But yeah, he, you know, not recently, but before, he was the Fiend, and then he was posting pictures of him with his baby and, like, with his friends at weddings, and it's like, all right, well, fuck.
Yeah, I don't want to see that.
Yeah. I mean, like, I get it. You're human. You have a life. Take those pictures and keep them to yourself. We the fans, don't need to see that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I since social media has been social media, I have a love-hate relationship with it and stuff, and I'll disappear for 6 months or a year at a time. That's just for my own sanity and well-being and stuff. And, you know, I'm sure people, you know, see it. But, you know, I don't have a blue check mark. I don't need a blue check mark to know who I am. But I do know that social media helps monetize a lot of stuff today.
Sure.
And it helps a lot of people, which I get and I'm all for. But I don't need to go show people how fucking cool I am. I know how cool I am.
That's good. That's good.
I like your attitude.
Yeah. Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So I would say in the ring, you're obviously the closest person to the action. Has there been an incident where something happened in the ring, not according to plan, the two were about to go at it, and you have to be brought in to sort of give your side of the story?
You mean where there's a shoot fight or something like that?
Yeah, something similar.
Where somebody had heat?
Yeah, where they get to the back and something happened in the match.
Yeah, like most... and I was actually involved with it. And I'll tell you from personal
Let's
experience.
Hear it.
Crime Time in Lance Cade and Trevor Murdoch. We were in Terre Haute, Indiana. Barry Windham was the agent. And again, my stories, I get a little detailed because I remember fucking everything. So we go out there, and it's a tag match, and it's a non-title. Cade and Murdoch are the champions. So we go out there, and there was a lot of heat between both teams for who knows what. And I was good friends with Cade and Murdoch. We used to ride with Arn Anderson, which was – a car ride that's fucking amazing. So it's double A, man. So, but it was cool, man. So I would drive, and Cade Murdoch and Arn would sit there, and they'd drink their beer, and we would tell stories. So we were driving, and we show up to Terre Haute, and there was a little shit going on, you know, hearsay stuff going on between both teams. So we get out there, and they knew that I was boys with them because I rode with them at that time. So we got in the ring, and there was a spot where JTG got popped out, so he had to go down and sell. So Trevor was in the ring as the heel, and I'm sitting, I'm counting, one, two. And Trevor, being the heel, tells me, count faster. So, what? Count faster. And JTG's, and I'm counting, so we're at nine. And he's still out there on the floor selling. I'm just going like, 10, and I 10 count, ring the bell. I give them their titles. Cade Murdoch, get the fuck out of Dodge. So I'm in there. So here comes Chad, rest his soul. Love fucking Chad. Chad and I, we're brothers. So he gets me, and he shoot grabs me. And he was a strong motherfucker.
Yeah.
You know, he truly was a beast. So he grabs me. Oh, man, you fucked us. You guys really just, I know you're in with these boys. And I was, no, dude. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. So what they proceeded to do is they proceeded to hit their finish on me without even telling me. So Chad just cinched me in. JTG came in, boom, and they hit me with their finish and just laid me out and stuff. So people in the back were freaking the fuck out, you know. Okay. Thank God I learned how to bump and knew how to bump and stuff. So, you know, I was okay. So then they proceeded to take my shirt off, take my belt off, and he starts whipping me with my belt.
Oh, wow.
Boom, and he throws my shoes in a crowd and everything else. So we go to the back, and Cena's fucking hot, man. Because Cena and I, we came in. We were right around the wrong time. Or I was there about a year before when he came into UPW. So I've known John Cena since he first got here.
Nice.
And Cena was hot. He was hot the fact that they'd hit me with their finish and they didn't smarten me up. And then they got hot because JTG took his time, which me and Jay were good. Everybody's good today. But, you know, they were upset. So, you know, there was a big stinking to do. So then the next day, We're in Indianapolis, and everybody's abuzz about what's going on. So Stephanie comes, and she grabs me, and she says, hey, she goes, you know, would you mind coming into my office? I said, sure. So she goes, what happened? And I told her, and she goes, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm okay. Then Hunter comes in, and he says, what did they do to you? I said, well, they hit me with their finish. And he says, are you okay? I said, I'm great, man. So then Johnny Ace calls me into his office, and he has the video, the footage, the VHS tape, because we recorded everything. So he looks at it and stuff, and he goes, oh, you did your job. All right, let me talk to them. So he pulls them in, and the next thing I see is he comes out, and Jimmy Tillis, hey, Jimmy, get these guys the fuck out of here. So Crime Time proceeds with their bags, come out of Johnny's office, and they go walk directly, and they get escorted out to the parking lot. They got fired.
Really?
Yes. They got fired. because they put their hands on a referee and it was part of that. And the fact, you know, that they thought that it was a shoot and I was shooting on them and I was taking sides with Cade Murdoch just because I rode with him and stuff. But, you know, it was just a lot of fucking miscommunication and, you know, and again, at that level, there's money to be involved. They were the tag champs. You know, they were coming in trying to prove their spot and their worth. So, you know, communication is very fucking important.
Oh, yeah, man.
So, you know, just always communicate. And, but, you know, like I said, before Chad passed, a few years before he passed, he and I sat down and we fucking talked like men and, you know, said, fuck, we're boys, you know. Same thing with JTG, you know. And, you know, Lance, when he passed, you know, fuck, that hurt. You know, he was really one of my true boys in that business. And, you know, so shit happens, man.
How hard did their finisher hurt?
It was fucking easy, man.
Well, was there a point where you were like, fuck these guys, I'm not gonna.
No. See, because here's the thing.
You could have rolled right out of the ring and just continued
walking. I wanted
walking.
To fucking nip up. That's what I wanted to do. But, hey. You know, and again, it goes back, and this is something that Dana Strome taught me. Always be a fucking pro, regardless of the situation, regardless of what they fucking say, regardless of what they do. When you don't give life to something, then it can't fucking come back to you, because when you do give it life and validate it and engage, you're giving it life, and it's breathing, and it's fucking growing.
You ain't kidding.
So, there you go. Dana Strome.
Nice.
Thank you, Dana.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, I wanted to ask you about stuff that's happening currently. And the current rumor is, I mean, first I want to know your opinion and thoughts on Triple H running the WWE. And I want to know what you think of the current news of Vince wanting to make a comeback. What are your thoughts on that overall?
I think that Paul is going to do Hunter. Is, you know, doing some good stuff. And I know he's got a mind for the business. He loves it. You know, this is what he does. And, you know, if he can turn things around, then God bless him, man. I mean, because, look, if WWE's successful, AEW's successful, then we're all fucking successful.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. Even though there's been some shitty times in wrestling for me and with personalities or life or whatever it was, I want to see my business succeed. You know, because if my business is successful, then we're all fucking successful. I want to see the next guy eat.
That's true. Rising tides lifts all boats. Is that the same?
Yeah. Tony Robbins.
Hey, man, come on.
So, wrestling podcast.
So, you know, I want to see everybody succeed, man. And if they're successful, then so be it. If they're not, then they need to look at stuff. But as far as Vince coming back, I don't think he never left, man.
See, that's what you believe.
I mean, I just find it's like Bill Gates leaving Microsoft. He's never going to leave Microsoft.
He has 80% control.
You know,
so does Vince.
Vince has 80%.
Here's my humble opinion, is that Vince's fabric in life is WWE. You just can't get fired from that, you know? He's truly been invested for most of his life, you know? So that's literally like his skin. So how are you going to... Somebody going to tell you that you need to jump out of your skin.
Yeah.
Doesn't fucking
happen. Your family business, right?
You can't quit your life, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, people are in an uproar. There's all kinds of opinions on the matter of Vince coming back. But, I like what Trips has been doing.
Yeah.
I like the direction the company's heading in. I don't think that bringing back, at least officially bringing back Vince... Because I'm sure he's got influence and input.
Oh, he's still majority shareholder.
Yeah, he's got the influence and the input. But on an official basis, like making an announcement like, hey, Vince is back, I think that's a bad idea just until all of the allegations are taken care of. Because right now there are open, brand new allegations.
It's going to be a while.
And I'm just like, like, don't bring him back while that's happening. Get rid of that. Take care of that, I guess. Or not get rid of. That sounds like Dark Side of the Ring or whatever. But
I will say this. I will say this. I worked for Vince when he was there and he was running everything. And I will say this, that that fucking man gave me a work ethic, that company, that to this day I used in everything that I do, man. There's nobody who's going to fucking outwork me because of that work ethic that I learned from working for Vince McMahon and WWE. So, you know, God bless him, and, you know, I hope everything works for the best, man.
Are you mad that Christian Cage stole your gimmick by putting out the outwork everyone?
We're all brothers. I love Jerry.
He's on Rampage. You win.
Yeah, right.
I didn't say that.
I did. I'm an AEW mark, so like
he's wearing an AEW shirt.
We'll get to that at the end of this.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, shit.
So I'm pro AEW. Gotcha. But,
all right. Well, let's talk a little bit about what you're doing these days, which is Young Rock. You're in town for that.
Yes.
Yeah. Are you allowed to talk about it? Am I not supposed to bring that up?
No, I can talk about it. You know, as a matter of fact, the sixth episode of season three dropped tonight, man. Mm-hmm. You know, Duane Claus, I believe it's called.
Duane.
You know, it's the Young Rock Christmas show. Ooh. So, this is the, like I said, the sixth episode of season three. And, you know, been shooting out in Memphis, you know, since August. And I'm in charge of all the rings. Setting up, loading, coordinating with transpo locations and, you know, doing all that good stuff. I help producers, executives and stuff, work with Chavo as far as, like, training with the stunt coordinator, suggest things as far as, like, the look. And, you know, I'm like the on-set mark is what I am.
you know. Talent,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, when they have questions about something, you know, me and Brian Gerwitz, who's on there. Hi, Brian. So we, you know, we'll get with Jeff Chang or Natch Khan, who, by the way, is Nick Khan's sister at WWE. So we talk, and they'll come to me, and Chavo goes, hold on. Marty, come here. Like, yeah. So they'll ask me something specific, and I go, no, it was this. Like, there was – we were shooting something, we're – Rock didn't have elbow pads and he didn't have his wristbands. Mm. And we were getting ready to shoot, and I whispered over to Chavo, said, he doesn't have his elbow pads on. And he had wristbands at that time. Chavo goes, oh, so he leans over to Jeff Chang and tells Jeff, and he goes, wait. Hold on. Hey, can we get Rocky's elbow pads and his wrist pads? Because he had them at this time.
Nice.
Good call, Marty. I was like, hey, you know, so that I'm there for that, you know. So, like I said, I'm the on-set mark. which I don't mind. I don't mind. I mean, what a place to be a mark, huh?
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, your input is invaluable for them, man, because, you know, TV production's a lot. There's a lot going on.
So
you forget a thing like that. Like, oh, hey, the elbow pads, you know, we forgot. That's awesome, though, man.
Yeah, and, you know, I can't tell you how many pinch me moments I've had, you know, just the fact that I'm on that show and working for The Rock, you know, so that's just mind blowing, dude.
Is he like on set? Like, is he often there?
No, he shot for the first 2 weeks, and then he had to go promote Black Adam and premiere, and then he started shooting his new movie. So he came and shot his stuff the first 2 weeks, and then he was out.
So, you know, you may not be allowed to answer this at all, but, like, is he going to be at WrestleMania versus Roman Reigns? Like, what? Where, that's what everyone's
expecting.
Yo
no hablo inglés.
No hablo inglés.
So that's a yes.
That's a yes. So start putting your bets now. No,
call DraftKings.
Yeah.
La verdad, yo no hablo inglés, okay? Yo no sabe nada. No. And that's El Chuto.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the rumor. That's what everybody wants. I mean,
he's
on the show.
You know what? I mean, if he's on the show, that's great. Wrestling, you know, it would be cool. But rumors in professional wrestling, man, I believe him like this empty hand.
Oh, yeah.
That's what keeps us all going. Like, yeah. You know, the fun of is so-and-so going to show
but,
up.
But check this out. You guys were probably there, is, you know, 20 years ago. There were rumors and stuff, but there wasn't any internet. There wasn't social media. So the rumors that you heard back then, I mean, they were a lot more legit. Now, everybody's a fucking expert, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that's like the new kayfabe. Because, you know, people were talking about how kayfabe is dead because of all this. Now, the rumors are what's creating kayfabe. Nobody knows what's real. Like, everybody thinks the whole CM Punk thing that happened with the, you know, the press conference, you know, some people think it's a work. Some people don't think it's a work.
So I honestly feel that today with what you just said, I think it's just companies spinning stuff just to get
right,
the
that.
Vibe out there or whatever, and just to get traction and just to get people to talk about what's happening on TV or what somebody did backstage, you know, because they'll do that, you know. And I think there's where that comes from. But as far as like real kayfabe, no, it was real kayfabe, man. You know? I mean, I saw it. I mean, I lived it. And, you know, when people talk about kayfabe today, to me, kayfabe is still real, you know.
So as an outsider, because you don't, you know, you're not involved with AEW, I mean, what are your thoughts on the whole thing? Do you think that the CM Punk thing is a work?
I'm not there, so I can't comment on it.
I mean, just from an outside, like watching it, like from TV, like as a fan, not as a professional.
I'm not even a fan of it, well, so.
You're just honest.
And what I mean by that, as far as a fan, like I don't tune in every Wednesday or Friday. I'll watch stuff here and there. You know, I'm not buying their merch and stuff, you know. So
me neither.
We'll get to that.
Anymore.
Oh, my God.
So, that's what I mean when I make that comment. You know, I'm not invested, put it that way.
Okay, all right. You know, so Young Rock isn't your first foray into television that's related to wrestling.
No, it's not.
So beforehand, you had Glow with Mark Maron, who we just ran into.
Yeah, we just ran into Mark Maron, man. How fucking cool was that, man? Here at the Comedy Store, and Mark Maron, who I worked with and trained for season 3 as a referee on Glow, we fucking run into him in the hallway, man. How fucking cool is that?
Yeah, he's here all the time. I mean, it's this is his home, I guess, right?
Yeah, no, he's one of the staples of the Comedy Store, and it's an honor to have him here.
And I'll be posting that on social media.
So, but tell us a little bit about your time working on Glow on you know, with Netflix and with Mark and everything, and like the what some people call the untimely suspension of that show. Like,
yeah,
my wife is upset. You have my wife.
She's upset.
She wants to know how she wants to see Mark hook up with the main girl on the show.
That was Allison Brie. Hi, Ellie.
Yeah, Allison. There we go.
Yeah, that was Zoya the Destroyer.
My girl, my wife wants Mark and her to hook up by the end of the next.
Yeah, Ruth Wilder.
That's never happening. So.
Ruth Wilder. Ruth. Ruth. No, that was amazing. You know, again, what I'm doing on Young Rock today is pretty much identical to what I did on Glow. But with Young Rock, I have a little bit of input with Chavo and helping out and producers and stuff. Whereas Glow, you know, I did suggest things here and there. We would help people. But for me, it's kind of one and the same, but it's kind of like grown a little bit. But again, you know, we would train the girls, and what we did is we actually had was Shauna Duggins, who's the stunt coordinator on this, and then her second utility was Helena Barrett. What we did is we had a 30-day boot camp with all the actresses and stuff, and I remember the first time that they ever got in the ring, I had set it up for producers and stuff so they could see it, and normally, you know, rings are probably this high. We had to modify it and cut it to half because it was our hero ring. Mm. So when you shoot, you had to, you know, bring it down. So what we did is we actually had to put in some silencers, so to speak, a little bit of ring magic because it was too loud. Mm. So, you know, wrestling rings are clean, clang, wing, and all this other stuff. So that's not really how a ring sounds, but I'm...
In AEW it is.
Okay. So, well, maybe they need a ring guy.
Hey, you.
Tony Khan.
yeah, if I can do it for Young Rock. So I was doing that. So we had to modify those. And the first time that we did it, we had all the girls. And Britt Baron had missed, like, the earlier session or something. I may be off on that. But Britt Baron, who played Mark Maron's daughter on the show. So Kia Stevens... Awesome Kong got in the ring, and Chavo got in the ring. Chavo's like, "You want to go?" And mind you, Britt had no idea that she was a former wrestler or whatever. So they get in and they start hitting the ropes and boom, bang, boom. And Britt's like almost shit herself, and she goes, "I need to learn how to do that." And it was like, she was like, "I'm getting the fuck out." But it was something that they had never experienced, man. And they were just in total awe of it. But I will say this, that all those girls worked their asses off, and they just killed it. They all killed it, you know. Kimmy Gatewood, we would call her Kimmy one time because Chava would show her something, boom, first shot, she would get it. You know, Allison Brie worked hard. Betty Gilpin, you know, she did great too, man. So it was a lot of fun. I got to referee on GLOW on season one. Episode 5, Debbie Does Something, so you can go check it out. they put a wig on me, and they gave me a porn stash. Nice. So I was on there, and that episode we actually had Kazarian Daniels and Alex Riley on that episode, and a couple others. But it was fun, man. We had a great day. And then, you know, of course, when Carlito would come on, when he played Kurt Jackson, he was Machu Picchu's brother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so but it was cool. Brooke Hogan was there. She was fun to work with. Who else was in there with us? Johnny came. He was Salty the Sack, you know, the trainer. And what a name, Salty the Sack. Hello.
Salty the Sack is it?
So, you know, it was great. You know, like we had some cool people come in and we did some great stuff. But yes, we were all bummed when COVID hit and we went on a hiatus like everybody did. And, you know, they were kind enough and they paid us for a minute. And from what I've heard is that, you know, somebody new came in and it wasn't their baby. So they looked at numbers, which they all do, and went, and there you go. But I know that, you know, the
no thanks.
I know, you know, because I'm still dear friends with Brittany Young. Hi, Britt. Love you, babe. and a couple others, you know, that they would really like to conclude this because, you know, there was sets build, there was everything. We had actually shot almost 2 episodes. And we were actually shooting on that Friday before the world shut down. We had shot a wrestling episode where Taya was involved with it.
Oh, nice.
You know, and Allison. And I was the referee. I was going to be the circuit referee, Lou. So I shaved everything. I was clean shaved and stuff. I had lines, everything. So, you know. But I got video footage of the match somewhere. But, yeah. It was great. It was great. But sadly, you know, they did it. But it would be cool to get a movie so we can finalize all that and your wife can see what the finish was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I like the show, too. I'm not just trying to pin it on my wife. I was a fan of the show, too.
Yeah,
I think
his wife, this motherfucker.
Like, yeah, I mean, I made her watch it because it was wrestling, but then she got into it. Like, it's funny because she keeps telling me that she doesn't like wrestling, but then, like, she asks me stuff. Like, so what happened with Sammy this week? I'm like, I thought you didn't care about wrestling.
You know, what's cool is, like, Chavo's uncle Mondo. Talk about full circle for Chavo. His uncle Mondo was the original trainer for the GLOW girls in the 80s.
Oh, nice.
So then here's Chavo Jr. training GLOW, you know, for Netflix. So.
Oh, yeah, man.
Very cool. Love you, Chavo.
Yeah, we got to get Chavo on here.
Bro, you got to come do this. It's cool.
So, okay. And then before that, you also did Lucha Underground.
I did?
Yeah. You senior referee.
Hold on. It was Lucha, so I was considered the senior referee.
The senior referee. but, you know, a lot of people still to this day haven't really, wrestling fans don't know about Lucha Underground. It
unfortunately.
Blows my mind. Yeah.
Unfortunately.
It's like a lot of your favorites that are on TV went through that show. Like Swerve.
They sure did.
Swerve and Ricochet and Johnny Mundo, or Johnny Comedy.
I can't keep up with his name. Johnny
you got
Thomas.
So many. Hey, John.
Johnny Nitro.
Johnny Impact.
I love, you know, like I just got to work with him at Triple Mania.
Oh, yeah.
In Mexico in October. And, you know, that was the first time I got to work with Johnny Caballero.
Oh, it's another name.
Yeah, because in June, I went to Triple Mania in Tijuana, and he was Johnny Hardy when he tagged with Matt.
He's out of control.
So, dude, you know, but it's cool because I've got to work and be in the ring with Johnny Caballero, you know, Johnny Nitro, Johnny Mundo, John Morrison.
He could technically do an entire Royal Rumble on his own and just could keep
he could.
Coming in with different
things.
I mean, there's worse ideas that have been out there.
Hey, but, you know, has that ever happened where one guy's done a whole Rumble by himself?
No. I mean, you know, Mick Foley did 3 entrances, but that's about it, right?
Yeah.
So I know you've told this story in the past, but I want you to tell like a shorter nutshell version for our fans that may not have heard the story about like what happened with you in WWE when you were there. I mean, you were in like one of the biggest matches of all time to to your credit, like you were saying, it's still being talked about today. It's still being posted on WWE. They post artwork. I mean, there's just shit going on constantly reminding people about this match. But then all of a sudden, you had a departure.
Mm-hmm.
And it was over a small thing.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, it's a small thing. You know, yeah. It was, I violated the company dress code because I wore a KISS t-shirt.
It's just...
Or so I was told. But again, shit happens, man. And, you know, did I deny wearing it? To be honest, this is exactly what fucking happened. John Laurinaitis seen me because he had seen me previously because him and Kevin Dunn were waiting for Vince, unbeknownst to me. I was waiting in valet waiting for my car. I had slacks and dress shoes on, but I had a KISS t-shirt because we had just done 3 weeks in Europe. And in Europe, you can't do laundry, you know? So you could, but it takes you 5 days, and by that time, we're in six different countries. So that's all I had. So he saw me. I get into catering after I did my stooge duty. And this is not to bury the company or whatever. This is facts, okay? Disclaimer. So I'm in line, and Johnny saw me, and he goes, "Hey, what are you doing wearing a fucking KISS t-shirt?" And I said, "Sorry, John." And, you know, and again, my response was because he caught me off guard. It wasn't because I was trying to lie to anybody or deny it anything. It caught me off fucking guard. So when you get caught off guard, you kind of just, your asshole puckers, okay?
You ain't kidding.
So that's what happened with me. So then he proceeds to cut a promo on me and tell me, you know, "Hey, what the fuck are you doing? You know, we have a dress code." And I said, "Look, I'm sorry. I just put it on. It'll never happen again." I put my tray down, and I went out, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm going to get suspended. I'm going to get fined. These were the things that were going through my mind. I never in a million fucking years thought that I would get fired for that. But, you know, it was Friday, the Friday after that. That was in Washington, D.C., and I'm packing my bag, and I'm getting ready to head to the airport. I get a call from Johnny Ace. Says, "Hey, we're letting you go."
Jesus.
"For what?" "Oh, it's a recession." "What?"
Mm-hmm.
And it was that. But I later found out through people who were there that Kevin Dunn called Johnny out and says, "Marty just fucking lied to a WWE executive. What are you going to do about it?"
Mm.
So just so happened that Johnny didn't have the balls to face Kevin and didn't want any heat with Kevin. So, you know, Kevin wanted to show how big his dick was, and Johnny fired me.
But what was the lie?
I denied wearing a KISS t-shirt to Johnny. So when Johnny said, "Don't you fucking know we have a dress code?" It was one of those things where, you know, he says, "Oh, you lied, denied," whatever they spun it. And again, that was 15 years ago, man. But again, this is the story, and I'm telling it, man. I mean, and not to piss anybody off or, you know, look at, you know, he's saying this, but, you know, it's just facts, man.
Yeah.
Here's the key question. What era of KISS was it?
Hotter than hell.
It's a solid era.
Still have that t-shirt put away, wrapped up in its own little container. I do.
Yeah.
I
do.
You should take a dump in it and send it to Kevin Dunn.
well, he's still there. He's still there at WWE. And unfortunately, I'm not. But again, speaking of who's there, who's not, John Laurinaitis is no longer gone, there. So yeah. See you, John.
So would you, if they were to remove Dunn amongst all the people that have been leaving, would you consider going back in with WWE now that it's, you know, Trips and Ace is gone and Vince is...
Carano's gone.
Gone, and Carano's gone. Like, would you consider going back?
Here's the thing. It's up to them. It's not up to me.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, you know, I can shit and wish in both hands. Guess which one's going to fill up faster?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So it is what it is, man. I mean, if they want my help, I mean, I know Sean, and I know Sean's running NXT. You know, mm-hmm. I text with Hunter. You know, when he had his cardiac thing, I was texting him and text Sean and, you know, "How you doing? Hope you're well," you know, and stuff like that. "Happy birthday, Merry Christmas," stuff like that. But it's not like, "Oh, please fucking give me a job."
Right,
it's not that thing. So
It's not like you are doing too bad. I mean, you're on one of the biggest shows on television right now. So yeah,
you could say that. But again, it's not up to me, you know. Yeah. And again, if they wanted me, you know, they've had 15 years to call me.
Yeah.
You know, and they haven't called me in 15 years, you know, not to produce, not to help or train or whatever. So I'm okay with that. And again, going back to Dana Strum. I remember one time I had a conversation with Dana because I was kind of, you know, feeling shitty about being fired and stuff. And this was a couple of years ago. So a decade had already passed. And Dana says, when was the last time they paid you a paycheck? And I went, 2009. And he says, okay. He says, so since 2009, what have you done? So I'm going, well, did Lucha Underground. I went and toured with Mayhem Festivals, Avenged, Rob Zombie, Revolver, did the Golden Gods, Zach Wild Roast, I mean, you know, Glow, AAA, I mean, all these things that I did. So he says, okay. He goes, so you've been getting a fucking paycheck, right? Absolutely. He goes, do you really fucking need him?
Yeah.
Dana Strum.
Fuck yeah, man. So, okay.
I'm doing fucking okay.
You're doing good. Is there anything on your list, bucket list, dream, you know, wish list, something that you want to do before, you know, you maybe retire in 10 years or whatever, 20 years?
Well, at this point, I do wrestling because I want to do it. You know, I'm not truly involved, but I am kind of in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
My bucket list would be to work with Austin or Rock.
Nice.
You know, but I'd love to be in the ring with Rock just one time. Just one time. You know, that would be my bucket. I mean, you know, because being in the ring with Taker and Shawn at the same time was pretty fucking cool, too. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that one's pretty up there.
Do you have any questions about that match? I know you're a old schooler fan.
I'd like to have you text Triple H on my behalf and... tell him thank you for jobbing Sting out in his first WWE match. I'm still pissed. I know you can't say anything, but that was out of control.
Woo, just got hot in here.
Mr. WCW, job him out at his first WrestleMania match. The hair and makeup department botched that. Oh, my God, that hairline, that match.
Wow.
I'm still pissed.
Wow. Well,
that's right. My question.
Wow. I'm sorry. I don't have an answer.
Oh, my God. Well, Marty, I want to thank you so much for coming in today and hanging out with us, sharing your story. Where can people follow you and you know, keep an eye on what you're doing? Obviously, watch Young Rock. I mean, if you're not watching it and you're watching this instead, like... make some better decisions. Watch the Young Rock and then watch the
Here, I'll say something. Yeah. Be sure to watch episode 308.
Ooh. Ooh. Okay. All right.
Can I ask one more question?
Yeah.
Vinnie Vincent. We were going to talk Vinnie Vincent.
I don't want to leave you on that Sting question. But since I am an old school 80s wrestling guy, and is it hard when you're in the ring? Like, most people didn't like working with Warrior for whatever reason.
Yeah.
They said he was... not the best in the ring, he wouldn't sell. As a ref, when you're in a ring with one guy who's like, this guy's not selling for me, what do I do? How do you navigate around that minefield?
You tiptoe. And let's say if it's a great heel and a baby face that they're pushing isn't selling, you know, he might tell me to, hey, tell him to fucking sell more or tell him to get his ass up or something like that, you know. And if he's not... he warned him. That's when the shots start coming, you know, and ultimately they start selling.
Yeah,
you know.
Or if you're Lex Luger against Bruiser Brody, you just climb the cage and get the hell out of there.
You can do that too.
Because they said in that match, the ref, you know, Bill Alfonso, I think you know, Luger was like, "Hey, he's not selling. He's hitting me for real. What do I do?" And I think even Alfonso was like, just hit me and I'll DQ you and get out.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, you know, do they sell like they did back then? You know, that's a judgment call.
Yeah. I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say so at all.
No, I mean, the selling today is a little, it's too choreographed for my taste, you know.
And again, I wish I had an opinion on that because I don't watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I watch NXT, but I only watch it for Zoe Stark. That's it.
For Zoe Stark?
Zoe Stark.
And why is that?
She is near and dear to me.
Okay.
And her husband, Tom Howard, Tom, he's my master Jedi. When I was first breaking into this business, first time I went to Japan, he took me under his wing and he taught me how to do this the right way and how to be respectful, how to be cordial, how to work my ass off with the young boys and stuff. And he's always been there for me to look just like Dana, but he's the wrestling aspect of it. And Dana's the life and music and Tom Howard's the wrestling, you know, and, you know, great advice. And again, I got other guys too, like Tommy Dreamer, Chavo, Paul Roma, Bob Holly, you know, great guys. But, you know, it's just one of those things, bro.
Can you talk to Dana? Maybe he can get my Vinnie Vincent box set from 20 years ago. I hold grudges.
I highly doubt that Dana has even spoken to Vinnie Vincent in many decades.
Perfect.
Even better.
Even better.
Right now.
They just got better for me.
Listen,
text Dana.
I know it's been 20 years, but Earl Skakels
wants his money back.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hi, man. Mark. Mark Slaughter by Vinnie Vincent. We got it. Mark, I love you, dude. Hope to see you soon.
Nicest guy I've ever met in my life.
Love Mark, man.
Like,
love
so
Mark.
Nice. It's like, what's your, is this a gimmick? What, like, you must be an ass.
What's your favorite Slaughter song?
I like Burning Bridges, which Burning Bridges is a song that they actually wrote about Vinnie Vincent, yes, being a, yes, maniac. It's not one of their bigger songs. You know, Flight of the Angels. They were my first rock concert.
Wow, really? With Kiss?
Yes.
Where at?
Shade Tour.
Where at?
Long Beach.
Was it really? So Winger was there with,
yes,
them.
Yes, Kiss, Winger.
I was there, too. I was helping out their former fan club president. We were doing meet and greets and everything for those guys back then. See, my music life is a whole other story and chapter, man. So,
I mean, I'll never forget, there was all these hot girls looking back at me. I'm like in the 10th row, and I'm like, man, I must have it tonight. I've got the jacket on, members only. And then I turn around, stretch my back, and I see the Nelson twins behind me. And they were like super good. Still, yeah, are, but very incredibly good looking
and
men.
At that point, too, they were super over as well.
Oh, yeah. They were like ultimate, yeah, warrior at WrestleMania. Yeah. And then I just went to the bathroom and cried.
Of course. Of course. Dude, I was there, man. I was
great
there.
Show. I'll never, yeah, forget the... you know, I know it's not a music podcast, but
I was gonna say, like, you guys can do this on Inappropriate Earl.
No, no, we're gonna do it. We're gonna do it right now. You think he's gonna come to my house after the shit I've talked? When Kiss came out of the Sphinx mouth,
yeah,
and the lasers, it was like, I'm getting hard right now, I'm gonna be honest.
Oh my god! All right, Marty.
Yes.
Thank you for coming.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Please let our friends know where they can follow you and all of the social medias, and how do they keep a tab on you?
So I got back on social media a nice. Few weeks ago after a self-imposed, I don't dig this shit. So you can find me on Instagram at Marty_Elias_1. And on Facebook, you can find me Marty Elias. But please, you know, if you're going to friend me or whatever, don't tag me on stuff. You know, if I don't know you, don't tag me.
Yeah.
It's just etiquette, bros, guys, yeah, girls. So please. You can actually, if you want to book me for seminars, I'm not doing too many matches. I'm real choosy about matches and stuff that I work. Book MartyElias@gmail.com.
Here you go. Make sure you book him. He's got years of experience. I mean, come on. Guys, WrestleMania 25. If you need him for one of your matches, you better be ready with your fucking paycheck.
Yeah.
You know, and again, I'll just add to that, and we can close with this, is that I haven't been on weekly television since 2018, okay? But yet, here I am in 22. And I went in October, and I main evented Triple Mania in Mexico City in front of 30,000 people. Pentagon asked me to be the referee for that match, and it was mask versus mask. It was Penta versus Villano 4,
mm-hmm,
and it was in Mexico. And
incredible match, by the way.
It was,
you haven't seen that?
It was mind blowing, man. And then here I'm working for The Rock on, you know, Young Rock, and he is a pretty fucking big.
Is he? I mean, I don't know.
Thanks.
That's the rumor. Hollywood. That's the rumor. You know. So yeah, I mean, blessings all over, man. And again, you know, it takes fucking nothing to be a great human being.
Yep.
Work hard and keep out of the shit. It's real simple, man.
Hell yeah, man.
There goes my career.
Well, guys, you can follow me, guys and girls, you can follow me at RRBG Podcast. Earl, where can they find you?
I don't want any girls following me. I like to interact with as many dudes as I can, just big, greasy wrestling fans. I got one already. At Earl Skakel, and Marty will be coming on Inappropriate Earl to discuss the inner workings of KISS in the 80s.
That's right. That's right. Make sure to follow producer John at Comedy Store John. Studios. And follow us at Comedy Store Wrestling. If you're watching this and you're not already following us on Instagram, what's wrong with you? Follow us on Instagram at Comedy Store Wrestling. Follow us on Twitter at Stores War. Go to YouTube, find the Comedy Store channel. You'll find all our videos. And subscribe, like, share, comment, smash all the buttons. All the things you got to do to fight the algorithm. Thank you so much for watching. We'll see you next week.